Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour with your host, Sam Leibowitz.
Good morning, my conscious co-creators. And how are you this beautiful Friday morning in New York City? I hope you've been enjoying this frigid weather we've been having. It's been nice and chilly here in New York. I think for this time in December, this is probably colder than we're used to having. Though somehow, you know, everybody always complains about the weather. Oh, it's so hot, it's so cold. But, you know, when I was a kid growing up here in New York City, I remembered the winters as being cold and snowy, and it was always like this every single winter. Yet in the last 10, 15 years, I think the weather has actually gotten much more mild in New York City. And it's just so funny to me to hear people talk about, oh, this is like such awful weather we're having. And I'm like, what are you talking about? This is what we're supposed to be having. This is New York City. This isn't like Florida or Virginia or something. But anyway, enough about the weather. It's still a beautiful day. I'd rather have it cold and sunny than rainy and damp and cloudy and yucky. So I am particularly happy to welcome a dear friend of mine. Today's show, you guys are really in for a treat. You know, we've had a number of shows lately more about the sort of spiritual side of development, and today we're going to get more down to a grounded issue. Actually, last week we had Jasmine Sandler, who does online branding. So we're going to kind of continue that theme a little bit, dealing more with the business of side of things. And I know you guys are probably saying, well, look, Sam, you know, your show is the Conscious Consultant Hour. What does this have to do with raising our consciousness? So I just want to remind you guys that, you know, we're holistic beings. We're spiritual beings. We're physical beings. We're emotional beings. We're mental beings. And so we need to take care of our financial, our business, our survival. We need to take care of as well. So we need to be conscious in all areas of our life, not just in our sort of spiritual life. So that's why I talk about all of these topics, and I bring on a wide variety of guests. It's so that you guys can understand that while, yes, the spiritual side of our life is very important, so is our business side. And it's learning to incorporate good business principles into our business life, good relationship principles into our relationships, and good spiritual principles into our spiritual life as well. So my dear guest today, I've known for many years, and Nina has actually seen me gone through a number of transformations, because I met Nina probably about 7 years ago, I think it's been, right, Nina?
Yeah, something like that.
Feels like several lifetimes ago already. And Nina is quite an interesting person. She is a lawyer, but she has a very strong entrepreneurial streak. And she's had a lot of experience with myself dealing with partnerships in business, with business relationships. And she really brings sort of a very unique perspective to some things that are very important to us when we're building our businesses, which are the relationships we have with our business partners, with our vendors, with our customers, you know, kind of the whole gamut. So, Nina, as I you know, most of my listeners know I usually like to start off with having my guests give a little bit of background to themselves. So let me just ask you a few questions to start with, which is, first, why did you decide to go into law to begin with?
Well, I often joke and say I must have seemed to kill a mockingbird at an impressionable age. But there is that sense of wanting to be a wise, trusted counselor in the community, someone that people could rely on. So, you know, going back to what are the values and who do I aspire to be?
Right.
And I think that going into law meant dealing with people. I thought, well, I'm so squeamy when it comes to needles, so medicine was out as a career. And I thought at the grand old age of 7 that business was just going to be about numbers. I thought, oh, ho-hum. But law, to me, involved people and how are they thinking and what motivates them. So that's part of what brought me into law. And particularly what brought me into entrepreneurship was a number of transformations and epiphanies I had about how I wanted to control the destiny of my own career.
Ah,
And how can I work with like-minded people? And I really like how you talked about people being conscious in all areas of their lives, because as I've gone through my own business transformations, I'm able to look back and say, I really was not that I wasn't focused, but I didn't realize how many layers there were in terms of decisions that I was making, in terms of who I was choosing as a business partner or how long I stayed with them.
Right.
So it took a while for me to say, all right, now I know who I am. Now I know what's right for me.
Right.
So that's also part of why I want to give that back, is that it can be a really painful process to be making mistake after mistake and not really getting to the truth of where you want to go.
Oh, absolutely. And I think most of our listeners out there, if they're experienced business people or entrepreneurs, know that, you know, sometimes we're just too thick-headed and we have to learn by experience. There's an expression that learning from the mistakes of others is wisdom. Learning from your own mistakes is karma.
Ooh. I've also heard experience is the word we give to our mistakes.
Ah, there we go. So when you graduated and passed your bar exam, how did you start off? Were you working at like a large law firm? Did you go into private practice right away? How did you kind of get started in your career?
Well, that's a good question, Sam. When I first started, do I date myself or not?
Up to you.
It was a number of years ago. It was the early 90s. And for one of the first times, at least in recent history, the bottom had totally dropped out of the legal market.
Really?
Usually, whatever the ups and downs of the economies, you know, lawyers, sort of like vultures, were always able to survive and morph and find a new specialty.
Right. Like these days, I hear like bankruptcy lawyers are doing really
They're
well.
They're doing really well. But after about 4 years after Black Monday, that was one of the first times that you were really starting to see lawyers get pink slips.
Really?
You were actually seeing partners being let go because they weren't bringing in new business. It was a complete paradigm shift in the business model of the law firm, which used to be, it was one of the reasons I went there, it's going to be secure. It's a lot more secure than the stock market. You go because if you work hard and do a good job, you'll be taken care of for the rest of your life. And all of a sudden, there were thousands upon thousands of us across the country who either were in practice or wanting to go into practice, who realized that entire mindset was shattered. So I scrambled to find a job. I didn't realize what it was at the time, but it was through networking that I found my first job at a nightmare of a firm. But it was work, and I was grateful for it. I still am today, because there was no place to go but up. A small firm in Midtown Manhattan.
Okay.
From there, I actually got fired from first job. Another wonderfully liberating experience. Again, years on, I can say, yes, thank you, universe, for that experience. Found another job, but there were several things that I was noticing. The first, and especially in light of where the law firm environment was shifting, I was not seeing women stay around long enough to make partner.
Really?
And it's not that there was necessarily overt discrimination, but the atmosphere was just, and the environment was not conducive to women who were usually the caretakers having more flexibility in their career. The second piece of it was that lawyers were not encouraged to develop their own client base. And one of the things that I saw immediately upon graduation was that you're nothing unless you have a client base.
Right.
Or a very, very highly specialized skill in an esoteric area or a powerful skill like trial law. But the law firms were not training people from within to develop that skill. So I looked at all of these, seeing one after another of friends, parents, you know, parents, friends, children getting passed over for partner and saying, do I want to put my head down and work for 14, 15 years and have somebody say, you know what, we don't need you anymore. Thank you. Goodbye. And then where am I? I've got no marketable skills. I have no client base. So I decided that that's where I really wanted to take control of my career so that I had the choices. I had the flexibility.
Right. So, wow. So it's interesting, you know, I've said for the longest time that, you know, there really is no, security in working for somebody else. That really, no matter what, you know, there's always somebody there who can fire you, let you go, whatever. And, you know, it kind of shows, I guess, the law industry was probably one of the last industries that that was not the case. And now it seems like that's become the case as well. So it's really, you know, I always say to people, look, if you're working for security, you're working for the wrong reason, because there really is no security left in this world anymore. And I think that's true across industries.
And it may have been a fallacy to think that there was security to begin with, because life can always throw you curveballs. As an entrepreneur, you get the security and the knowing that you're not going to get fired, but you have the insecurity of knowing you could go bankrupt.
Right. Absolutely.
I was thinking as you were speaking, well, what about government as the last bastion of job security? But you know what? You change administrations and you're out of a job.
Right. And also these days with the, you know, all this clamoring for smaller government and everything else, you don't know. And especially like if you're working in social services, you know, you could be cut very easily. Okay, well, we're starting off a really interesting conversation. Time flies when you're having fun, so it's already time for our first commercial break. So we're having a wonderful conversation with Nina Kaufman. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back on the Conscious Consultant Hour.
You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour. We'll be right back after these messages. Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you feeling overwhelmed in the current chaos of our changing times? A deeper understanding of authentic astrology can uncover solutions in every area of life. After all, metaphysics is just quantum physics, poetically expressed. I am Montgomery Taylor, and I offer lectures, seminars, and private consultations. For more information, contact me at Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at rljmedia.com.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
I really need to take better care of myself. If only I had someone to help me with my lifestyle. I feel like giving up.
Is this you? Mind over matter, health and fitness can help. If you're expecting an epiphany, chances are it's not happening. Mind over matter, health and fitness can help you get back on track or start a new life in fitness. Join Joshua Margolis, fitness expert, at 212-865-9290 or visit www.mindovermatternyc.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
And welcome back. We're here on the Conscious Consultant Hour. I'm your host, Sam Leibowitz, and we're talking with Nina Kaufman, the business lawyer. Actually, do you have a title? Like, do you have a moniker that you go by?
I usually refer to it as Ask the Business Lawyer because Ask the Business Lawyer, because that's my website, askthebusinesslawyer.com.
Okay, good, good. So now you guys know how to find her
there
after the show, askthebusinesslawyer.com. So, Nina, being that I know you and I like you and I trust you, I always like to get perspectives from people sort of like within their industry. So what do you see as being sort of the biggest challenges in the legal industry in general these days? Because, you know, so many people like hate dealing with lawyers and look at them as like a necessary evil. What's your perspective as an insider, I would say?
I would say that one of the greatest challenges affecting lawyers right now is their own dissatisfaction with being a lawyer. And some of that may be the model of the law firm, that sort of soul-destroying, you have to bill 3,000 hours a year, mm-hmm. or you are not valuable. It may be that when I draft a really phenomenal contract for a client, people aren't coming to me saying, oh, thank you, it's so fabulous. Whereas you have a wonderful consultation with them and you are a lifesaver and they're ready to praise you to the skies. So, in fact, lawyers have one of the highest dissatisfaction ratings of many of the professions.
Oh, really?
Most of the friends that I had from law school are no longer practicing law.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Now, some of it may be that people use law and the law school training as a stepping stone. Well, they use it as a couple of reasons. First of all, it's a way to avoid adulthood, which is part of why I went. So 3 more years of school. Gee, I don't have to have a job and hold down an apartment and raise a family and all of that. People may also go to law school because they're hoping that it will give them a training or a way of thinking or an extra skill that can then be marketable in the workforce.
Mm.
So they may not have gone into law with the sense of, I passionately want to be a lawyer.
Right.
So I think a real challenge for lawyers, because we are trained so much to think in our heads, is to bring it down to our hearts to say, what are we really passionate about as people? And this affects not just lawyers, but anyone in the workforce considering a career path. What are you truly passionate about? What gets you excited?
Right.
And
right.
What is meaningful for you? What has value to you? Because if you're working in an area that is ho-hum, that's going to seep into the rest of your life.
That's so true. It's true. And it kind of, I guess to me, relates back to kind of business in general. You know, it almost doesn't matter what kind of business you're doing, whether you're a lawyer or a doctor or a plumber. It really doesn't matter if you're not, you know, really, I guess in my terminology, conscious about what you're doing and how you're and why you're doing it, kind of the motivation behind it. You know, you're never truly going to be satisfied. You're never truly going to be fulfilled in what you're doing.
Absolutely. And many people, I know I was encouraged to consider law because it's a status profession.
Mm.
That's how you show your value in our society.
Yeah, yeah.
And now the issue is not so much the status. As you say, it's where are you conscious?
Right.
What are your values and how can those best be expressed in the world?
Right.
And one manifestation is work.
Right. Absolutely. And so many people just identify, their identity is so tied up in their work and their career and they forget that there's much more to life than just your identity and your career.
Well, to that point, I had that epiphany myself several years ago. I had been working for over a decade with a business partner. And it was not going well. I kept fighting it for year after year after year. And finally, I was reading this wonderful book called Second Acts by, I think it's Robert Pollan, P-O-L-L-A-N.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about looking at where's your next career move going to be. And he talks specifically about lawyers and how much of what they do is connected with status. And for me, at the time, I was a partner in a law firm.
Mm.
Which was huge status. I mean, you talk
right.
Nachas and brag. My parents were all, Lisa were all over that because my daughter's a partner in a law firm. But I'm a partner in a law firm that's not going anywhere.
Right.
In reality. So what difference does it make to have that title? And once I was able to disconnect that need for status from the work that I want to do in the world, I was able to leave that partnership and take a very different path.
Wow. So when we met, you were working at a particular business, weren't you?
Yes, I had, again, a law practice with a partner, and over time started a separate company to create information, downloadable information products on small business legal issues for entrepreneurs,
mm-hmm.
which is called The Legal Edge.
The Legal Edge. Ah, very cool. And so one of the things that we kind of share as kind of a common thing is we both kind of believe in the importance of business relationships and kind of how important it is to be sort of conscious and cognizant of what happens when you go into a business relationship or partnership.
Yes.
Ooh, do I detect a note of experience there?
Oh, been there, done that, got the t-shirt.
So that sounds like that was something you decided to, I guess, in a sense, specialize in, didn't you?
Well, it was something that came up in the natural course of my law practice, because I was working with a lot of entrepreneurs and smaller businesses. And one of the ways that they think about growing is by taking on a business partner, which on one level can be a really great idea. If you have a skill set and your partner has a different skill set, that's a wonderful way of bringing in more brain power into the business that you would not have alone.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot more to it. Not only in terms of who are you choosing, but also monitoring over time. Is this still the right person
right.
to be doing this? Are we still sharing the vision and the goals?
Right. You know, one of the things that I always like to say to people is, you know, choosing a business partner, it's kind of like choosing a spouse.
Oh, yes. And you spend more time with a business partner than you do
with your spouse most of the time. Yes, yes, absolutely. So it's really something you have to be very cognizant of and really take very seriously. You know, sometimes we think we just meet somebody, we get along real well. Oh, yeah, I know this guy. I mean, I had this experience myself where I had started a business with somebody who I thought I knew well. We had been in a nonprofit together in a volunteer organization. We worked real well together in this volunteer organization. And then when we became business partners, things went very wrong. And we ended up, unfortunately, kind of in legal trouble because of it. And it was, in the end, such a waste of time to go through sort of that legal venue because of it. And I guess if I had followed maybe some of your advice that you give to people now, of course, you know, hindsight's always 20/20.
Of course.
It would have, might not have gone so difficult. So how did you decide to focus on that area?
I decided to focus on the area because it was something that came up a lot for my clients. I knew that it was, yeah, it's something that other lawyers do. Other lawyers certainly draft shareholder agreements. I'm not the only one in New York who can create that. But wanting to really make an understanding of it, because I also had my own business partnership. So really being able to speak to what are all the issues involved? How do you choose and screen your partners? Again, whether it's somebody who's actually working in your business, whether it's a co-marketing partner. How are you able to test the waters? Should you be doing this with someone who's a friend?
Right.
I think it's something we may touch on later, that one of the issues I came up against is that I went into business with a really good friend. And I often, more often than I should have, put friendship before business. And business partnerships are really very counterintuitive, because the business has to, if not come before, be on parity with the friendship.
Right.
And that's a very different way and a very different approach than your ordinary personal friendship.
Right. Well, great. Well, it's time for us to take another commercial break. Please stay tuned. We're having a wonderful conversation here with Nina Kaufman, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Sam Liebowitz, the Conscious Consultant, on TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
If I had $1 million,
if I had $1 million,
well, I'd buy you a house,
I would buy you a house.
And if I had $1 million,
if I had $1 million,
buy you furniture for your house,
maybe a nice Chesterfield or an ottoman.
And welcome back. We're here on the Conscious Consultant Hour talking with Nina Kaufman all about the legal side of business and partnerships and all kinds of things. So, Nina, we had just started to touch upon this whole idea of partners and partnerships and our own kind of experiences with it. What kind of advice do you have for our listeners if they were to start thinking about getting involved with someone as a business partner?
Well, I'd say the first thing they want to think about is, why do they want one? And it's one of the areas where we are unconscious. We say, well, I want somebody with complementary skill sets. I want someone to bring money. But if you really get to the heart of it, very often it's, we're afraid to be alone.
Very interesting.
And that's a hard thing to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
So, but once you get to that question, am I afraid to be alone? If the answer is no, then you really can think consciously, will a business partner help me get my business where I want it to go the best way possible?
Great. So, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, when I kind of coach people, I always like to say, you know, partners are great and awful things at the same time. Because I've had, you know, several businesses, and I've done it with several partners, and lots of times it's not worked out real well for me. And then other times it has worked out real well. And the reasons why I always tell people to consider working with partners is that, you know, with a partner, you know, there's somebody else there for you to bounce ideas off of. And, you know, they can, when you're down, they're up. And when they're up, you're down. You know, you can balance each other out. They bring a different perspective to things.
And there's an old expression, you don't sharpen a knife against a sponge.
Uh-huh.
So it's also a way of expanding your knowledge base and also having somebody say, you know, there may be a better way to do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which can be really helpful. But it was so funny during our break, Larry Bloom, the divorce attorney, had mm-hmm. an ad and about marrying. And that's where it's similar to marriage, as we made the analogy earlier. It's good to date before you marry. So mm-hmm. the way you had a friend who you were on a nonprofit board with, that's not exactly the same situation as running a business together.
Right, absolutely.
So might there have been a way for the two of you to collaborate on a project mm-hmm. as opposed to, okay, we're now in business together, which right. then has to be legally extricated. But right. can you work on a single thing to see how they would work out well?
Right. And you know, the thing was we did all kinds of things. You know, we actually ran a conference, the national conference for this nonprofit here in New York City. It was, I think, the first time that we actually did it here in New York City. And it worked really well, but you know, here was the difference. When we worked together on the nonprofit, he was kind of like the president of the chapter, so he was always the one in charge. He was the one who was making all the decisions, and I kind of went along with it. You know, I let him take the lead. He was a little more experienced in that. You know, I didn't have an ego about it. I wasn't like, oh, well, no, it has to be this way or that way. But then once we got into business, because I was supplying most of the capital for the business and I had a lot of contacts and I had different ideas about the way things should go, then we started butting heads. It wasn't going the way he wanted. So that's when we started having trouble.
Absolutely. And to the point of, is the business partner right for you? You also have to ask, are you right for partnership?
Right,
because
exactly.
some people are not. You know, Donald Trump is not necessarily going equal in all sorts of partnerships. His name is
right.
splashed across everything. And that's okay. But it's important to know who you are and where you stand with that. Also, for example, years ago, I had represented a couple of lawyers who were starting a partnership, and they were on full agreement with so many things, with the nature of the practice that they wanted to have, how fast they wanted to build, the kind of money that they wanted to earn. And then I asked them about vacation time.
Ah, interesting.
And one of them looks at me like, what kind of a girl question is that, vacation time? We're starting a new business. Everything's 24/7. What kind of like nonsense stuff is that? And the other one paused and he turned his head and he said, I'm leaving a sweatshop so I can finally see my kids before they go to college. They're now six. I don't need to go into another sweatshop. And what that opened up was a whole series of divergent attitudes toward the lifestyle mm-hmm. that they wanted to lead and that they wanted this business to be able to provide to them.
Right.
So that's one of those undercurrents of issues that people often don't get to, that they get to the surface stuff of how much money do I want to make, but they don't also ask, what do I want this business to do for me?
Right.
Where do I want to be with it in 5 years' time?
Right, right. And the business often is more than just about making money.
Yes, it can often be the expression of yourself in the world of work.
Right. And sometimes our values, you know, with people who we think we know well and we're good friends with, sometimes our core values, like you're talking about vacation time, but it could be about other things. It could be about, you know, how do you treat clients or customers or vendors? It could be about, you know, any number of things that are important to you that may be important to the other person too, but you just have totally divergent views.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that. One of the things I talk about in my book, The Entrepreneur's Prenup, How to Choose a Business Partner Who Won't Beep You, is that there was a particular business opportunity that I was considering going into with another person. So we went out to lunch and we started talking about it. She was so imperious with the waitstaff. I mean, bring this here, and what's the matter with you, and why can't this come quickly? And I was absolutely appalled, and I was just not going to go into business with her. I could not be with someone who treated other people in such a demeaning fashion. Now, admittedly, the service was not fabulous.
Right.
But she took it to such a personal level that I said, if she can do this just off the fly with a waiter,
right,
how is she going to be with me when we're really in the trenches trying to get a business off the ground?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes seeing people in, you know, just these common day-to-day situations tells you more about a person than anything else.
It's actually a great way to screen potential business partners. For example, going out to lunch or dinner, can they hold their liquor, for example?
Right.
What are they like when things get a little loose?
How
do they treat their significant others or their employees? You know, do you hear what they're like on the phone?
Mm.
How do they talk about them behind their backs?
Mm.
That all of those things give you clues to what this person is really like.
Right. Absolutely. Okay, great. Well, again, time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah.
So we're off for another commercial break. Please stay tuned. We'll be back with Nina Kaufman, AskTheBusinessLawyer.com. And you're listening to us on Talking Alternative. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour. We'll be right back after these messages. Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
I really need to take better care of myself. If only I had someone to help me with my lifestyle. I feel like giving up.
Is this you? Mind over matter, health and fitness can help. If you're expecting an epiphany, chances are it's not happening. Mind over matter, health and fitness can help you get back on track or start a new life in fitness. Join Joshua Margolis, fitness expert, at 212-865-9290 or visit www.mindovermatternyc.com.
Do you want to enhance your company's web presence with an eye-catching and unique website design? Would you like to incorporate professional video marketing or mobile marketing into your organization's marketing campaign? Mission 101 Media offers a unique marketing experience that will set you apart from your competitors, magnify your brand exposure, and enhance your current marketing efforts. Their services include video production and editing, web design, graphic design, photography, social media management, and now introducing mobile marketing. Their motto is, we do whatever it takes to make our clients happy. Contact them today at mission101media.com.
TalkingAlternative.com. as if you think they're not possible.
And welcome back. We're here on TalkingAlternative.com. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour. I'm your host, Sam Leibowitz, and we're talking with Nina Kaufman, lawyer, entrepreneur, business person extraordinaire.
Ooh, I like that one.
Ah, you like that one, huh? So we're talking all about business partnerships, business relationships, and the good and the bad and the ugly around all of this.
There's a lot of ugly.
Yeah, unfortunately. So, since we're talking about, you know, going into to business with partners and friends and stuff, what about relatives? Is going in business with a relative a better idea than going into business with a friend?
I'll give you a typical lawyer's answer.
Uh-huh.
It depends. It really does. You have to be so, I mean, in a way, extra careful when you go into business with a relative or a friend, more so than just somebody you meet on the street. And one of the reasons for that is that you're both bringing a very special asset to the business that isn't there with other third parties. And that's that personal relationship, which you really want to make sure you protect. So it's very counterintuitive because you have to be more vigilant, more careful. You have to screen more carefully with a family member to make sure this really is right. Because otherwise, you know, you're going to have a carving knife in your hand over Thanksgiving dinner and you won't want to put it in the turkey. And that can really create a rift. And you see it in a lot of families and with friendships. It can be very, very ugly if it goes awry.
Right. So, you know, one of the things that I tend to kind of say to people when I'm talking to them about going into business with people, with partners, is to sort of begin with the end in mind. You know, it's kind of, you know, let's say, you know, you've got this idea for a business, you know this person, you've known each other for a while, you decide you want to kind of do this together, is to, you know, begin with the end in mind so that, you know, you're starting this venture, well, where do you want to go with it? Where do you want to take it?
That's a terrific point because I find many entrepreneurs are so excited about starting.
Right.
That they don't think about the end. What do you mean the end? Well, why would I want to give this up? I'm just starting it now. I'm all excited about it.
Right.
But if you don't know where you want to get to, ultimately, how do you know if this business is getting you there?
Right.
And whether
right.
it's worth your time and worth your money and whether you have the right people involved, you can't right. measure it. You can't monitor it if you don't have a very clear goal.
Right.
And I've seen a lot of business owners do that where they're just focused on, okay, I want to earn $1 million a year.
Right.
But that's not the end. Really, the end is making that decision of, is this going to be a lifestyle business, you know, something right. to provide you with income for your life?
Right.
Is it a legacy business where you want to give it either to the next generation of either family or employees? Or are you building this to sell it? Whether that's 2 years, 5 years, or 20 years down the line.
Right.
And each one of those decisions means you're going to have a different business model. You're going to right. have different goals.
Right.
And you need to know whether or not your other partners are on board with that.
Right. And if you have that conversation up front and you have it first, that'll also reveal certain things about your potential partners that you didn't realize to begin with.
Absolutely. The partners may say, you know what? I just want to do this for 5 years. If I'm not getting $1 million a year, I'm out of here.
Right.
As opposed to being stuck in it and slogging it out 20 years later.
Right. So what other kind of points do you think are important? You know, just let's say the top two or three or four things besides, you know, kind of where you're going or what the end exit strategy is. What else do you think is really important to talk about with potential partners?
I think it's very important to do what's called the due diligence. When you have someone else in your business, for example, your ability to get financing is absolutely crucial. And
yes.
most banks or other lending institutions are going to look at the financial situation of both business owners. So you need to know and you need to ask, are there any problems? Run the credit reports. Don't even rely on the information, but say, let's each we'll run credit reports and we'll exchange that information. And be able to see, are there bankruptcies? Because, that can be a real problem. If you and Sam, if you and I are going into business 50-50 and it turns out you've got a string of bankruptcies, And the bank will lend, but I'm the only one with the personal guarantee.
Right, right.
We're no longer exactly 50-50 partners anymore.
Right, exactly.
So that's something. Even with a family member, let's say you're in your 50s and you're bringing on a family member, but what you didn't know is that your cousin got arrested several times for shoplifting.
Ooh.
Do you really want him in charge of your inventory?
Yeah.
You know, these are not things that normally come up at, you know, Hanukkah parties.
Right.
So those kind of due diligence, are their criminal records? What's their financial situation? Those kinds of things. I mean, those are the real business kinds of due diligence that you want to think about. What's their reputation in the field? Mm-hmm. You may love them, but if they've had trouble keeping clients, maybe not the best business partner.
Mm.
And these are hard. These are really are hard questions
right.
to ask. So
right.
I don't want to make light of them. But you'll have a much stronger partnership if you are transparent about the issues and have the courage to confront them.
Right. Absolutely. So I mean, you really have to kind of dig deep in a person's history, no matter how well you think you know them or not, because how well you think you know them might not be. That might not reveal everything you need to know about them.
Exactly.
What do you do when things go wrong? Because I know, like, for my own experience, you know, with this one particular partner, you know, we ended up in a big fight, slamming down the phone, very emotional, and it, you know, turned into, you know, a whole legal battle, which cost me thousands and thousands of dollars, and actually in the end ended up not doing anybody any good.
Right. Well, there are a couple of things. One of them certainly is to think through your exit strategy before you're getting started, and that would be something in a partnership agreement. So if there reached a point, and this is something the agreement should include, if there reaches a point where the two of you really are, you've got your hands around each other's throats and you just can't see eye to eye, what happens? Is there a neutral buyout procedure that you can both agree to? So that's one step. Another, and it's quite frankly, it's an area where I fell down in my partnership, is that we ultimately stopped communicating. I worked in my little silo of areas and networked with my little silo of groups, and my partner did the same, but we weren't communicating. So that's where having a team of outside advisors can be so helpful to make sure you have an annual retreat so that you're both gazing. Was it Antoine de Saint-Exupéry said that love is not gazing at each other, but it's standing shoulder to shoulder looking in the same direction.
Ah. Ooh, I love the way you said that name in French.
Ooh, yes, my high school French. Yes.
Nah.
So having somebody there to help facilitate those discussions, it doesn't just have to be the two of you.
Right.
That can be so important. And in a way, somehow like marriage counseling, if things are starting to get rocky, then you have a neutral third party in there who can hopefully diffuse some of the tension and help you come to an amicable solution so that you can both exit stage left and keep the rancor out of it. But it's when the business owners try to do it themselves that, as a friend of mine says, when emotions are high, intelligence is low.
Low, right, exactly.
So you won't be able to come up with an amicable solution because you're so focused on, I want my share.
Right.
Or I want to keep the mum out.
Right, absolutely. Okay, so things are, you know, an hour goes really fast in this studio.
It
and we've got one more segment. We've got to go off to another commercial break, and we'll be right back. Please stay tuned, and we'll return with Nina Kaufman on the Conscious Consultant Hour.
You're listening to Sam Liebowitz, the Conscious Consultant, on TalkingAlternative.com. You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
Do you want to enhance your company's web presence with an eye-catching and unique website design? Would you like to incorporate professional video marketing or mobile marketing into your organization's marketing campaign? Mission 101 Media offers a unique marketing experience that will set you apart from your competitors, magnify your brand exposure, and enhance your current marketing efforts. Their services include video production and editing, web design, graphic design, photography, social media management, and now introducing mobile marketing. Their motto is, we do whatever it takes to make our clients happy. Contact them today at mission101media.com.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Men reading fashion magazines. Oh, what a world it seems we live in, straight men. Oh, what a world we live in. Why am I always on a plane or a fast train? Oh, what a world my parents gave me always.
And we're back. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour. I'm your host, Sam Leibowitz, and we're talking with Nina Kaufman, the business lawyer, all about business relationships, business partnerships, and all things business related. So, Nina, this is our last segment. We don't have a lot of time left. Why don't you give people your full contact information? If someone's interested, they want to find out more, why don't you let them know?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, to let people know, I have a home study course called The Entrepreneur's Prenup, How to Choose a Business Partner Who Won't Leap You. And I've got a sneak peek for that available at greatbusinesslawresources.com. /sneak peek. Again, it's greatbusinesslawresources.com/sneak peek. And that includes both a chapter of my book, The Entrepreneur's Prenup, as well as a really interesting recording on money mindsets and how they can sink your business partnerships. Because that's one of the underlying currents that we talked about earlier. If you're a spender and I'm a saver, we're going to have very, very different attitudes to how to build the company. And that's not one of those tangible things that necessarily comes out in easy conversation. So that's at greatbusinesslawresources.com/sneak peek. And more about me as an attorney and speaker is available at askthebusinesslawyer.com. It's askthebusinesslawyer.com. And just one last tidbit, we were talking about red flags or things to look for in business partners. A really important thing, especially for entrepreneurs, are people self-starters? Are you one and is your partner one? Do they have follow through? Because that is absolutely key in any entrepreneurial organization. Mm-hmm. You've got to be able to get it started and follow it through.
Right, absolutely.
Without that, you're doing a lot of babysitting.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, great. Well, thank you so much for coming out,
thank
Nina.
You, Sam.
This has been a wonderful hour. Hopefully, maybe you'll come back sometime
would
in the
love
future
to.
When you have something new coming on. I would like our guests, our listeners, to stay tuned. Coming up next is another lawyer, our divorce lawyer, Larry Bloom, one of the nicest guys I know around divorce. For the divorce hour, so please stay tuned. He'll be up right after these commercial messages.
That was the Conscious Consultant Hour with Sam Leibowitz, live on the Talking Alternative Network.